God bless you. It's good to see you this morning. May God bless you. Good to have you with us. If you're visiting, I don't see anybody that doesn't look unfamiliar, but God bless you anyways. And if you're joining us online, God bless you as well. Amen. Are you looking forward to a great service this morning? Amen. I trust you are. Come expecting. I like to sing, "It's a Glorious Church Without Spot or Wrinkle." Do you hear them coming, brother, thronging up the steeps of life? Oh, clad in glorious shining garments, blood-washed garments pure and white. Oh, 'tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We are washed the blood of the Lamb. Is a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And do you hear the stirring anthem filling all the earth and sky? 'Tis a grand
power in the blood.
Pressure.
power of the land. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Precious blood of the Lamb. Now would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, oh, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in that blood. Yes, there is power, much power, wonder-working power in the blood. It's of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working. It's in the blood.
Morning, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's so much power in the blood. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I you love her this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. For I love you, Lord, I adore you. I bow down before you, Heavenly Father. Free. appreciate him this morning. Amen. As we get ready to go to prayer, I like to sing the chorus, "I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary," as we get ready to go to prayer.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for.
Prayer at this time. Brother Ben, if you would come, brother, and just take knees to our Heavenly Father. We want to remember Brother Jeff Jackson as they are out fighting fires this morning. And Brother David Whitlock's mother, we want to lift her up in prayer. The Smiths. Also, we want to remember Ben and Rachel as they're away. Anniversary, so let's lift them up in prayer. It's good to see Brother Keith here this morning. We're going to continue fighting for you, Brother Keith, for you, Brother John. Amen. The Lord would just continue finishing complete work.
Amen. It's good to see Brother Joe here. Made my heart very, very happy to see the drums here this morning. Let's bow our heads. Aren't you thankful that there's somewhere where we can go to claim the blood? Amen. Just raise your hand if you have an unspoken prayer request. Let's lift it to the Lord this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, first of all, Lord, we want to say thank you. We love you so much, Father. We're so thankful for that blood, Lord Jesus, that was shed for us, Father. Lord, it covers all of our needs, Lord. Whether we have emotional, spiritual, financial, Father, physical problems, Lord, that blood is enough, Father, to just cover all of our needs. Lord, and to forgive us for our sins, Father, Lord, when we mess up, and we're thankful for that this morning, Lord. Lord Jesus, our brother Jason read the prayer requests here this morning, Father, and I have my hands on these requests, Father. Lord, I just, Lord, ask that you'll go to each of the needs, Father, that were mentioned. Those that weren't mentioned here this morning, Lord, I just ask that you'll go to them as well. I think of the Smiths, Father, this morning, Lord. I just always want to remember our sister Mary and our brother Richard. Prayer, Lord. Our brother Keith, Father. Lord, it just does my heart good to see the drums here this morning, Lord Jesus. I just ask a special blessing on our brother Joe and sister Frida, drum, Father, Lord. And Lord, as we worship this morning, Lord, I just ask that it'll be a sweet savor to you, Father. And Lord, as we hear the word this morning, Lord, may it do something to our hearts, Father, to help us to grow just a little closer to you, Lord. We ask you to be with our pastor as he brings the word. And Lord, help us to do our part this morning, Father, to help pull the word, Lord. We ask you to just be in the remainder of the service. We ask in Jesus' name.
Just got one quick announcement, and then we can sing It's Jesus I Really Want to See. Just a reminder with regards to the sign-up for the Ark Encounter. Everybody, I think, was given an email and a link. I think Brother Barry will talk a little more about that. Just a reminder, though, if you do have and you have not signed up, let's get signed up so we know how many people will be attending. Amen. Let's sing this. It's Jesus I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this old an offering. It's Jesus I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see.
This morning, Lord, to not to just worship you, Lord, but to learn from you, not to just thank you for your goodness, but to celebrate the miracles that walk amongst us, Lord. These are lights of your mercy to us, Lord. Father, now's our chance to give a little to you, Lord. We pray that you would take and bless these tithes and offerings, Lord, and help us to remember that we're examples of you, Lord, in our community also, Lord. And for those that are helpless and those that are in need, may you bless this service and this offering, Lord, to your purpose. We'll thank you forever. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Shut in with God in a secret place. There
the Lord. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How many of you honestly are glad to be in church this morning?
Amen.
I hope you're ready. I'll tell you what, I am loaded for bear, and I hope you're ready. Now, why don't we stand on our feet this morning? We're going to sing a little chorus, My Hope is in the Lord, and we're going to pray as we open up this morning, and we're going to remember all these needs that have been mentioned this morning. Special ones that are on our hearts, people who are online this morning. We want to remember the family of Sister Margie O'Dell, who crossed over to her eternal reward this week up in Indiana. And she was a member of our church for several years. I have her walking stick in my office that she used for a number of years, and finally, one time we prayed for her, and she just got the victory over that. And she said, I want you to have this walking stick as a memorial. She said, I don't need it anymore, and never used it anymore. And she was a woman that had many, many troubles in life, but she hung on to the end. We saw her just a little while ago at Stephen Swofford's funeral. And so may God rest her gallant soul. Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence today, it's just an honor and a privilege, Lord, to be gathered here with all these saints, Lord. And I know that you are the one who cares about us, Lord. You brought us together, brought us out of the pit that we were in. And Lord, you have sanctified us. You have justified us, Lord. And now you've allowed us to be able to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When the world is sitting in confusion and darkness, Lord, you have raised us up to sit in a place, Lord, where we can see great things, and we're so thankful for that. I pray your blessing upon everyone that's here today, and may your presence, Lord, be very real in every heart. We love you. We thank you, Lord. We ask forgiveness for anything that may have grieved you this week, and I pray, dear God, you take full and complete control of this service. Guide my words, Lord. Guide my thoughts today. And we commit each and every need into your hands. In the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. My hope
is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord, in whom the wisdom of the ages lies, for whom the raging of the sea subsides, a living sacrifice, the only source of life.
Take your Bible this morning. We're going to go in two places here, and we're going to look first of all in the book of Jeremiah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 first of all, and then we'll come to Jeremiah. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll just have you read these while you're standing this morning and in the right spirit. And then I have a couple of other things that I'd like to say very quickly because I want to jump in this morning. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. And you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Say this after me. I love my Bible.
Love.
Verse 16 in Hebrews 10. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Let's go back to Jeremiah, the third chapter. Jeremiah chapter 3. And we'll read, beginning at verse 20, Jeremiah chapter 3. Put yourself a bookmark in this chapter here. We'll come back to it. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Imagine. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. And we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. But for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of our God. I want to just draw attention to verse 23, and we want to use that as a text this morning. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. May God add his blessing. You may be seated this morning. Now, March 17th was Samuel Brown's birthday. Samuel, are you here? How old were you on your birthday?
10.
Thank you. Sister Haley had a birthday March 19th. March 20th was Aaron Ningamaza's birthday. Brother Aaron, God bless you. We appreciate you both. March 25th is Chris Clavel's birthday, right? Go ahead, tell us how old you're going to be on your birthday. Older than yesterday. March 26th is Troy and Connie Hughes' anniversary. How many years? 59? That's got to win some sort of award. It does, yeah. God bless you both. We appreciate you very much and pray for you daily. Ben and Rachel Pritchard are not here today. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary. And they're away this weekend, but their offspring are here, right? So I'm your dad today. I'm watching you. Johnny and Doris Reynolds have an anniversary on March 27th, right? How many years? 54. God bless you both. We appreciate the Reynolds. March 29th is Everly Cathy's birthday. Where is Everly? Everly, how old are you going to be on your birthday?
7
years old. God bless you. Best 7 years of her life. And that's it. How old are you going to be, Noah?
20
years old. The world has never been the same since. All right, there's the link. You don't need to go to the ARC link. Go to this one. I emailed it to you in an update. I'll email it to you again. But you want to go there and just fill in information and your potential desire to go. This is not a commitment. But in order for us to get a price for you, we need to have a rough idea how many people are going. So that's what we want to know. So we have reservations made potentially, but we just need to know how many people are thinking about going to the ARC. And if you don't mind, when you get that link, if you haven't signed up, please sign up. And that way we can get things rolling. Brother Yahshua, God bless you. He is now a green card holder in the United States. And I sent out that picture. Very proud member of our church here. And got his green card yesterday. Now, or the other day. We are 25 days out from Easter. Everyone say Easter. 25 days. 3 services. Saturday night. 6 p.m. 2 services Sunday. Dinner. Okay. This is long overdue, and I apologize, but this is a note from the Harwell family. Dear brothers and sisters, we are overwhelmed with gratitude for the incredible outpouring of love, prayers, and support you have shown to us after John's accident. Your prayers have been a source of strength, your kindness a balm to our spirits, and your generosity a true blessing during a very difficult time. Through every challenge, we have felt God's presence, even though your words of encouragement, often through your words of encouragement, your thoughtful gestures, and your financial support. Your love has reminded us of his unfailing grace and the power of a faithful community of believers. I wish I had written that. Let me read that again. Your love has reminded us of his unfailing grace and the power of a faithful community of believers. We really underestimate the power of a community of believers. We will never be able to fully express how much your support has meant to us, but please know that we thank God for you daily. May he bless each one of you abundantly, just as you have blessed us. With hearts full of gratitude and love, John, Laura, Emma, Sarah and Steve, John Anthony, Hannah, and Cody. And that's it. Oh, and Lily as well. Thank you, Sister Laura, for writing those kind words, and we appreciate you folks very much, and we look at it as nothing less than the grace of God that has been shown towards your family. Brother John, we're glad to have you here, and may God bless you, and may God teach you quickly how to use a new coffee maker in the fellowship hall so we can get back on track. Now, I wrote there was a family here when I made that fateful announcement that one day that my old Bible was worn out and I had to buy a new one. Some of you remember that day. And a family jumped in and offered to purchase my new Bible for me. And I just want to say this, and this has nothing to do with the sermon except that I just love my new Bible. It is really great. Very often, when it had that new car smell on it, I left it here in my office because I didn't want to carry it around and, you know, get it marked up in my bag and stuff. But now I'm taking it with me everywhere because it's so great, and it's just a pleasure to read. So when I read something, and I'm not telling you what you need to do, I'm just telling you that when I read something, I don't sit back in my easy chair and, you know, read for a few minutes and go to sleep. I do that with other books, but with this, I sit upright and I have a pen and I have usually another Bible source, and I'm looking up parallel parts. And so I read very intentionally when it comes to this, and I'm always amazed at how the Bible is interconnected. It's so interconnected with other parts, and as a result of that, I've really, really been blessed in reading the book of Jeremiah. And if you have not started to do that, do it, and just make it a kind of another thing for you to do. And I read when I sit. I normally read three chapters or so at a sitting, because it just is so speaking to my heart, and there's so many great lessons in it. Now, you may have not thought much about the book of Jeremiah, but I want to give you a little bit of an overview principle today. It's all I want to do, and I'm not planning to be long, but every one of these statements that I'm going to put on the screen, and it's not many, but every one of them are significant to the thought today of what we've titled "The Springs of Living Water." Now, let's do a very, very quick little review. Jeremiah chapter 2 says, and I brought you, and you're welcome to look at these scriptures here as we mention them. Some I have on the board. Jeremiah says, I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. And when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. Now, God has raised him up, put words in his mouth and said, I want you to say certain things to the people now. And a lot of it in the first part is rather negative. But there's a lot of prophecies in here and a lot of things that connect with other parts of the scripture and, you know, relate to the future. But he's very direct here, very direct. And he says, the priests said not, where is the Lord? and they that handle the law knew me not. And the pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked not after the things that do not profit. Now it's interesting, I thought in verse 8, it's interesting how that when Jesus showed up on the earth, there was groups of people who came to him, the scribes, Pharisees, the lawyers, right? They came to Jesus, the rabbis. And so here we are, the priests, they came to him and says, hey, where is God? And those that handle the law, that's a lawyer. And the pastors, they transgressed against him, and the prophets. And that spirit never went anywhere, right? That spirit always is used of the enemy to attack the word and contradict the word. And so here we find it in the book of Jeremiah that, they're asking these questions, and God is bringing this up to Jeremiah, showing him and saying, this is what the people are actually thinking. They're listening to the prophets of Baal, and they're walking after things that don't profit. Imagine when they could be walking after the one true and living God. It's just absolutely amazing. And then he goes on and says in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, my people have committed two great evils. Now, Brother Branham comes along, and in the sermons that he preached in 1964 and 65 called Broken Cisterns, he grabs this principle here of the two great evils that Israel committed against God in the days of Jeremiah. And he brings that, he extracts that principle and takes it right out into our day and brings it to us. So this also is really pertinent for our time. Many great things that are in here, and I'll share a couple of them with you today. But the two great evils are very simple. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That's the first thing that my people have done. And the second thing is that they have hewed out these cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. This is what a cistern looks like. It is simply a method for collecting rainwater, surface water. And in the Middle East, water is a precious thing. This kind of water, though, comes from a collection of rain that falls on the roof and runs down the pipes and gets collected in the ground. Now you can imagine in the heated ground in that part of the world with all of the stuff that's on the ground already getting washed into here, this water after a week or two, a month or two, maybe a year or two, it ain't very pretty. This is not very nice stuff. This is not stuff you want to, put in the glass and just put a couple of cubes in there and have at it. This is not what you want to be doing with this water. Okay? This is bug-infested, bacteria-infested water, and this is pretty nasty stuff after a very short while. And here's God saying to them, you've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And the contrast is very clear when you read the book of Jeremiah. You can either drink from this cistern, which is a big pot of water that's gone bad, or you can come to a spring. And the spring has, as the Bible says and as the Message says and as nature teaches us, a spring of living water has a life within itself. It just bubbles up on its own. It doesn't depend on the groundwater. It doesn't depend on the rains. It doesn't depend on anything. It's got a life within itself. And it just pushes out all the time, just pushes out. So it's never stagnant. It doesn't freeze. It doesn't stop for any reason. It's just somewhere or another, there's a source way down that pushes that water out of the ground. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's an even more beautiful thing to listen to. How many of you have ever listened to a bubbling brook or, a little fountain of water that's just kind of naturally bubbling? It's really great. I remember being in the north of Israel, in the tribe of Dan, and listening, and we were with our guide, and our guide told me to take my Bible, and we were all sitting kind of, there was lovely trees around, and there was a river there, and the guide told me to open up my Bible to a certain place in Psalms, and had me read certain passages there. And it was David describing the sound of a brook and the water running, and we all then just were totally quiet. We were all silent. And you could just hear that same sound. It was almost like we were sitting in the same spot that David was sitting in when he wrote the psalm. It was really quite a moment. And there's something really beautiful and natural about that sound. You don't find that in a broken cistern, that's for sure. You don't find it there. Now, Brother Branham also says, look at Israel. He always has to remain the same. Look at Israel, for example. And he says, now God has always to remain the same way in his dealings. Okay? So God doesn't deal with Israel one way and you another way. There's only one thing that God ever did honor, and that's his provided way for his people. And when they get out of the way, God was dishonored, and God made the people suffer for getting away from what he told them to do. So if God has provided something for you and you disobey that or walk away from that, there's really not much more God can do. And that's what he's saying. Not because of the evil of doing it, but the evil of disobeying what he said to do. So listen, as I've said to you many times before, smoking and drinking and drugs and all of that, those are not the problem. They are symptoms of the problem. And you can stop all the smoking and drugs and drinking and so on. That's good. But you still haven't addressed the problem. The problem is the desire you have for those things. And when God takes that desire away, let me tell you, you don't have to worry about the drugs and the drinking and the smoking. You don't have to worry about that. It will go anyway because your desire for it has been gone, has been taken away, right? How many of you can testify that that's true? I can testify. I'm glad to testify. I don't want to bore you with my testimonies about my past or scare the little ones here. But I will tell you that is absolutely the truth. The things you can't give up, the things you can't overcome, the things you can't lay down. Let me tell you, the best way to deal with them is to give them to the one who can take away the desire, and you watch what happens to that thing afterwards when he takes that desire away. It's gone. It's gone. It's absolutely gone. And so Brother Branham says, it's not the evil of doing it so much, but the evil of disobeying what he said to do. And he was reaching out to Israel and saying, turn to me. I'll destroy your enemies. I'll take away your adversaries, and I'll do this, and I'll rebuild, and I'll restore, and I'll replenish, and I'll do all of this. And you don't do it. You're turning away to prophets of Baal. And so this is what Jeremiah's cry was to Israel. And those cisterns, he said, become stagnant, and they're no good. And it becomes a home of frogs and lizards and snakes and bugs and germs because it's a stagnant condition. Now, it's a perfect example of any kind of a man-made system. It's a failure. He's a failure to begin with. So if we're only being converted by a man-made system, it ain't going to work. If you think that joining this church is going to, you know, save you, it ain't. Glad for all of you here, but I hope you're not here because you think this is where salvation is in HBT. It ain't. I hope that you don't think that deliverance is here in HBT because it ain't. Deliverance is in Christ. Amen. Salvation is in Christ. Amen. Right? Amen. We're just a bunch of people that have found the key. That's the reason he, man, needs a Savior. He could not save himself. He is lost to begin with. He is born sinful. So we all started out wrong, and we're going to remain wrong until God does something to make us right. And we look to him for the answer and the resource that we have need of. Now, when that happens, as you know, when that happens, out of a person's inner man, out of the person's inner life, flows rivers of living water. And Jesus said, you watch. He said, when you tap into this, he said, there'll be something inside of you that bubbles out. And you don't need to push it. You don't need to manufacture it. You don't need to work it up. You don't need to have a great choir in order to have that happen. Let me tell you, hey, we're 25 days away from Easter, right? And you don't need to, have special musicians to do that. Hey, we have special musicians, and I appreciate our musicians. I married one of them. I fathered several others of them. We have great musicians, but I'll tell you what, that's not how you get those rivers of living water. I'll tell you what, you come in contact with Christ and you experience a new birth, and there's something on the inside that begins to happen, and it pushes out all that debris and all that negative stuff and all the bugs and lizards and everything else. It all gets pushed aside, and now there's a stream of living waters that comes forth, and it will help you in every way in your life. It'll help you in every way in your life. And Jesus promised this. And I believe that that promise is true. Absolutely. Now, I got to divert for a minute. I'm going to need some help here today. Eli, you be ready. I'm going to need some help here. So sorry, I got to do this the way the Lord's laid it on my heart. And you may not think that some of the stuff that I do, the Lord lays on my heart, but he actually does. So you're going to have to take it up with him, all right? Now, I got to talk for a minute about covenants. I got to divert for a minute for covenants. Is that all right? Everybody knows what a covenant is, right? No, you don't. You think you do. But let me tell you how God deals with covenants, all right? Let me tell you how God views covenants, because this is really important. Now, all right, this is going to be my knife. Now, Jeremiah makes a harsh statement here, and he says, I will prepare destroyers against thee. This is, again, he's talking to Israel. I will prepare, God says, destroyers against thee, everyone with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars, cast them from the fire. Now, when you read the book of Jeremiah, it's interesting, quite interesting, to find out how many times he refers to destroyers and warriors and soldiers and evil coming from the north. Watch the north. He says, watch the north, because when I send destruction, it's going to come from the north. And many nations shall pass by this city, and they'll say every man to his neighbor, because it was Israel was so central in terms of transit within the world, that part, that in that era, in that time. So when people go by the city of Jerusalem, they'll say, why did God do this to such a great city? Why did God do this to this great city? Then they shall answer. Here's the answer you give. Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord thy God and worshiped other gods and served them. God doesn't like it when you mess with his covenants. God does not like it when you break his covenants. When God makes a covenant with you, or God makes a covenant with anybody, he doesn't like anybody messing with it. All right? You know that, right? This is a covenant. Right? You know that. God said, I'll make a covenant and I'll never flood the earth. So when it rains really bad and you see a rainbow, I always think it's neat because I'm not the only one who's looking at that rainbow. God's looking at it from above. And he's using it as a covenant, a kind of an everlasting covenant is what he said. I mean, David writes in Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. And I have made a covenant with my chosen. How many of you are glad to be called the chosen of God? I have made a covenant with my chosen, and I have sworn unto David my servant. Now this is David writing this. I've sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. So this was an important and a central thing. Do you know Joseph's coat was also a symbol of a covenant? Here's Brother Branham. Joseph, the younger son, rejected his brethren, just like Christ. He wore a coat of seven colors, and the seven colors, of course, represented seven colors in the rainbow, which was a covenant. And God always has his covenant people. Say that with me. God always has his covenant people. You're getting good at this. So Joseph's coat that he had, it represented a covenant. This also is a covenant. Right? It's a pretty important covenant too, this one, because you don't want to mess with this one, right? Covenants are a big deal to God, and I hope you'll understand that a little bit more afterwards. Eli, come on up here if you don't mind, because now let's show you another covenant. I need a heifer. Lay there. Just lay right there, top step, lay right there. No, yeah, go put your head up here and your feet down there. All right, I need a heifer. Now, if you want to understand how God does covenants, all right, here's how it is. He tells Abraham in Genesis, the 15th chapter here, he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you and thy seed afterwards. Okay? We'll read the scripture here with me. And it come to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between the pieces. Pieces. So if you take that picture and you run those images together, the first one is a heifer there, and then a sheep, and then a ram, and they're separated. So there was birds included in there, and he said, don't separate the birds. Leave the birds intact. So Abraham, he sees these animals. Now God's going to make a covenant. Stay with me. God's going to take a covenant with Abraham and his seed. All right, this is what he's going to establish. It's a covenant of grace. And God says, now, Abraham, take those three animals there and cut them in two. So this is what he does. Abraham goes and takes those animals and cuts them in two. All right, Eli, go sit down there if you will. All right, come here. I need you. Henry, come here. Now, you got to lay up there, your head, put his head the same way he did. And Henry, you get back there and lay down right there. All right, I'm just telling you how God does it, all right? I mean, this is how God did it. And this is a covenant of grace that God was going to make with Abraham and his seed. Now, you can read it in Genesis chapter 15. And he says to him, I'll sign this covenant. Now, he's got the covenant, God's got the covenant written out, you know, in his own mind. He's got the covenant written out. And it's a covenant of grace, and the fine print says, between me and Abraham and all of Abraham's descendants forever. And I would say natural and spiritual seed of Abraham, royal seed of Abraham. How many of you believe you're royal seed of Abraham? All right, so you're involved in this covenant, all right? Now, a covenant is an agreement, and it's made between two people. We're going to covenant together to make an agreement, you know, together. But here's the way God does this one. He says, hey, you don't need to sign, Abraham. I'll sign it myself. It's pretty good. So Abraham has no responsibility in this. He has no liability in the covenant. Are you following me? Look, when we built the fellowship hall, I signed the loan. I went down to the bank, met with the vice president down there and First Citizens, and I went into his office, and I signed my name on the loan. Your name was not on the loan, although you're a wealthy businessman yourself. You never signed a loan. You never signed a loan. You're all benefactors of the fellowship hall, but you never signed the loan. I signed the loan. So in other words, if there was a default, they would probably come for me in some way, you know, for repayment of the loan. But they wouldn't be coming for you. I mean, you could write a check and just pay it off. I know you could. But your name's not on the loan. So you get the benefit of it, but you don't have the liability of it. Are we okay? Sure. All right? So all of you became benefactors, but you had no liability. That's a pretty good deal. It's like somebody says, I'll take out a loan for you, and you get the car, I get the loan. So the responsibility for payment of this agreement rested in God, because when you look at it, his is the only name on that contract. Okay? So God alone signed it. Here's how God signs covenants. You see on the bottom part of the drawing here, it looks like a torch. And God says it's in the darkness of night, and God takes a torch, and he does this, and he goes between the pieces. And he walks between it. That's the way God signs covenants. All right, guys, go sit down. Quit fooling around. Don't do that again. That's how God does his signature. I mean, that's not how I do it, but that's how God does it. And you know what? God's always right. Maybe we're the ones who are doing it wrong. Anyway, God says, I'm going to give this covenant now, and it'll be preserved perpetually for Abraham and his seed forever. And it is an agreement that we have made, but I have signed. I'm going to take the responsibility for the fulfillment and a performance of this contract. Wow. So Abraham realizes how great this really is. I mean, there's blood, because God always makes agreements in blood, right? I'll forgive you involves blood. Sprinkling of blood, pouring out of blood, whatever, shedding of blood. I mean, that's how God ratifies agreements, is with blood. But in this case here, he took the torch and he walked through it. And the symbolism is like, if for instance, there's a non-performance of the contract, may I be like these animals, split in two and my blood spill on the ground. That's kind of the idea. So there's a fearful, deathly consequence for not fulfilling the contract. So whoever's name is on that, they better perform or there's going to be death. All right. Think ahead. All right, go to the end of the sermon and realize that when you look at your covenant of redemption, look at it closely. Your name isn't on it at all. Jesus' name is on it. He signed it in his own blood on Calvary's cross and said, you're the benefactor and I'm the one that carries the liability for this contract. Wow. You start to realize, whoa, this is all right. This whole deal of contracts and covenants with God are really important. So, Jeremiah chapter 11, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and speak unto the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Wow. God makes a covenant with Abraham, hands it down from generation to generation because it's going to be to Abraham and his seed forever. And God says, cursed be the man that obeys it not. I mean, if God pays such a price, puts everything on the line in order to accomplish this, man, this is important to God. And he does not want anybody trampling over, you know, taking a covenant, walking over it like that. God doesn't want anybody to do that. God does not want anybody to kind of, you know, take the covenant and just disregard it like that. God doesn't want anybody to do that. You know why? Because he put his own, he invested in that contract. He invested in that covenant. He poured out something in that covenant that nobody else could do, but he did it because he loved the people with whom he made the covenant with. So don't mess with God's covenant. They come at a great cost. Jeremiah chapter 42, and it come to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplications before him. If ye will abide in this land, and I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. This is Jeremiah 42 now, so we're way up the road here. And there's a group of people who are wanting to know, should they go down to Egypt in order to stay safe? And God says, hey, if you will still abide in this land, verse 10, look at it. If you still will abide in this land, and I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent of the evil that I've done unto you. It doesn't give me any pleasure to put you through the disciplinary process that I put you through. It does not give me, I don't get glee out of that. I do it only because I love you. I do it only because I care for you. And I do it only because I want you to prioritize the right things and respect the right things. Hello? I'm not just speaking about Israel here, right? Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, for whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you, to deliver you from his hand. This is amazing. So the same God back here who condemned Israel for all their mistakes here, he's wanting to show them mercy. He's wanting to give them grace. And I will show mercies unto you that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. God says, oh, look, if you'll only obey me, if you'll only follow me, if you'll only soften your hearts and come to me and listen to what I tell you and listen to the prophets I send you and what they are reaching out for you to receive. If you'll only do that, look, I'll take care of the kings that come against you. I'll take care of the armies that come against you. I'll take care of the pornography spirits that come against you. I'll take care of, you know, the money troubles you have. I'll take care of the job thing. Don't you worry about that. Because you know what? I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I've got answers. I've got resources that you don't know anything about. And you know what? It's not that you've got to work your way into heaven or salvation or anything like that. You don't have to do that. What you got to do is just love me with all your heart and just follow me and just let me lead you and say, come on, let's go together. And that's all I'm after. That's all I want is for you people to be sensitive to that. Don't get your hearts hardened here. Because I've got all kinds of people here who can destroy you. They're all out there in other countries and they're ready to march. But they're not here today because I've held them back. And if I lower my hand, they'll be down all over you here and it'll be a different outcome altogether. But look at verse 12. And I will show mercies unto you. I want to show mercies to you. I want to save you. I want to fill you with my spirit. I want to lead you in life. I want to guide you. I just want you to want the right things. I just want you to want the right things. I want you to be listening to the voice of God that's on the inside pulling you to the cross, because that's where it begins. And from the cross to the pool. And from the pool to now the rich treasures in life that I have for you. And I've got revelation for you, and I've got communion for you, and I've got peace for you. Oh, come on. Listen, I thank God for the peace that He gives to us. Because, you know, headlines change, politicians change, nations change, wars change. Things are heating up in the Middle East there. On the hour, things are changing in the Middle East there. And I'll tell you what, you know, we can look at it and we look at it with concern. But I'll tell you what, I've got a peace. I know He's the God of the Middle East. And He looks out over that land. They're the apple of His eye. That's what He says. And I tell you what, I don't have any worry about His bride, because when God wants to turn full force over to Israel, He's going to tuck His bride away in the palace. And I'm one of them. And so I'm not worrying about this. I'm not fretting about this. I got a peace that passes understanding. You can't really quantify it. You can't really explain it. You can't give it to somebody. But I tell you, I got it. Amen. And if you got it, you got it. You got it, you know it. And this is God saying here, look, I got your back. I got your front. I got the skies over you, and I got the ground you're walking on. I got it. And I have the power and the strength and the might in order to make it all happen and make it all work out for good to them that love God and them who are thee called according to His purpose. I got it. As a matter of fact, this is perhaps the most important verse in all of the book of Jeremiah. And if you have not read this or got this underlined, you should. And you should be turning to it right now, just in case you may not have it underlined. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you. I will perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. So they're still in Israel, and Jeremiah is saying, you're going to go there, and you're going to go there for 7 years, not 3 years like this Yahoo over here is saying, but you're going to be there for 70. And then he says, I will perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. So your origin will be your destiny. Where you're leaving from is where you're going to come back to. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Yeah. To give you an expected end. Now, the key word here in this verse is a really important word. It's a really powerful thought. And that is that it is the word perform. And God says, I will visit you and I will perform my good word. And that means this. It means that that word or that promise of return will sit there for 70 years because I said so. But after 70 years, I'm going to come on the scene and I'm going to blow into that word perform, and it's going to come alive. And when it comes alive, it's going to do what I have put in that word to do. It's going to fulfill itself. It is going to arise. It is going to be confirmed. It is going to be established. And it's going to come to pass exactly as I said it would. And God says, I will perform my good word and bring you back. And I will guarantee you, there's no power anywhere in the universe that's going to be more powerful than my ability to make that word live and bring you back to the land again. I will get you back there because I'm going to be performing that word in that season. And there ain't nothing going to stop it. There's not even anything going to slow it down. It's going to happen just exactly as I said. But that word is able to lay there dormant like a seed in your pocket until I breathe on it, until I determine my time. You can have a seed in your pocket for 100 years. Your grandfather might have had seeds in an envelope in a drawer for 100 years. Nothing happened. Take them out, put them in the right environment, blow on them, and you watch that seed come to life. And there are all of a sudden effects now. There are fruits of that. And there are things beginning to happen. And that seed knows exactly what to do. And God says, I'm going to perform my good word in the season. I'm going to blow on it, and it's going to come to life. And things are going to happen, and nobody's going to be able to stop it. And Satan's not going to stop it. And all of these demon angels are not going to be able to stop it. Nobody's going to be able to slow that down. It's going to happen just exactly like I said. I'm being evangelistic here today. I've said the same phrase now 3 times. When evangelists tell you what the meaning of Greek words are, don't listen to them. That's not right. But when I tell you what they mean, that's exactly what they mean. All right? Now follow me. Stay with me. If you notice here, and I know you are, there's an asterisk right here. I need you to gently look over at your neighbor on the left and the right. Make sure their eyes are open and they're breathing. Okay, here we go. He's good. That's the way it is. That's the way it is with the born-again experience. This whole seed thing, performing. Watch what he says. That's the way it is with a born-again experience. You cannot contain it. It's a well of water within you, bubbling up into everlasting life. Yes. You've got nothing to do with it. No, you don't have to wait on local rains and local revivals. You're full of it. Full of what? Full of the Spirit of God. Full of the life of God. Full of the dunamis of God. Right? He says there's something in it. It's fresh every day. Pure, clean. I don't care what kind of weather you're in. You're still happy because the Holy Ghost is in there, bubbling up. It's the hidden power, not just the water now, but it's the power that pushes that out. Its secret is within it. Its secret is within itself. The thing about a born-again experience is you don't have to now, if you surrender your life to Christ, you don't have to try to love God. You don't have to try to love your Bible. You don't have to try to love the message. You don't have to try to love the pastor, although you should. You don't have to try to do anything. There's something in there every day. It just kind of bubbles up. Amen. You just want to say good morning to God, and it goes on from there. You just want to say, thank you, Lord, for health and strength. Thank you for my good looks, like in your case. Thank you for life. Thank you for the blessing of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life. Amen. And there's something inside of you that says every day, no matter how many times I've said it, thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, I appreciate you, Lord. Appreciate the communion of the saints. I appreciate you, Lord, sending a message in this last day. Amen. I thank you. Sister Megan sent me a prayer request today of her great aunt. And, you know, I'm thankful that I got a place to bring my requests. I'm thankful that I got a place to cast my cares. I'm thankful that I have a group of friends who I know will pray for me. And they'll help me, just like the Harwell stated there so beautifully. And, you know, I thank God for, if it's this good here in a church building, how great will it be in eternity with all those saints over there? Man, a lot. Tyler, that'll be worth writing home about. You know, you think about how great it is, but don't miss the point. Every seed of God has the power within itself to fulfill itself. You just need the Holy Spirit to make that happen. I said every seed has the power within itself to transform itself into a life of Christ. You just need the Holy Spirit to pull the trigger. And I'll tell you what, that guy will change. That girl will change. But we're reading this in the book of Jeremiah. And God is frustrated. I mean, he's pulling his hair out, trying to get these people to respect the covenants. And why don't you follow the real prophets I sent you? And why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? They know, listen to me. They know, here's the important part now, this sermon. I told you it's not going to be long. So here I am at the end. Believe it or not. Now the end is going to take a little while, but I'm at the end. Don't you believe those evangelists that said, I'm closing. Don't you believe that? Here's God saying to the people, can't you get it together? Can't you get it right? Why don't you follow me? Why don't you listen to me? And he's proving to them what we know about the law. And it is the law never made a man a new creature. It only put him in jail. It showed him his sinfulness. It showed him his inadequacy in terms of his walk with God. Thou shalt not lust after your neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not do all of that. And the commandments are fairly stated. They're easy to understand. They're not complicated. You don't need to be a theologian or a high priest swinging a censer of smoke in order to have access to it. Everybody knew what the Ten Commandments were. But you know what? Every year they had to come back and offer a sacrifice because they couldn't keep it. And neither will you be able to keep it. Neither will you be able to keep the commandments of God. Neither will you be able to walk as a Christian all of your life. Now, you can walk as a church member. That's not what I'm talking about. But you can't walk as a real Christian in the days of your life on this earth unless Christ is in you. Amen. It's just legalism. If you're only not cutting your hair because your parents will get on your case and your pastor will, and he will, I will tell you something, that's not the real reason, but God will honor that when you do it. But it has to come from within your heart. It has to come from inside. And so here's what Brother Branham's saying. I don't care what kind of weather it's in. In other words, I don't care what conditions you're in. I don't care whether you're in HBT or I don't care whether you're in Malawi. I don't care whether you're black or white. I don't care whether you're young or old. I don't care who you are, where you come from, or what your background is, or how much CBD you smoke. I don't really don't care. But I will tell you this. When that seed that I placed in you is on the inside and it's quickened, it'll take care of all that. Amen. Glory to God. It'll take care of all that. Amen. And if it doesn't, you got the wrong seed. Because it is either the power of God in you to live a godly life, or it isn't, one or the other. Amen. Are we okay? So here's what God says. Go to your Bible. This is just for me to stay on track. Go to your Bible now. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Say amen when you got it. Watch now. Jeremiah, up to now, has been a book of condemnation. It's been a book of judgment. It's been a book of rough phrases and words here. But in Jeremiah chapter 31, I want to read just a couple of verses, but they're all important here. Everybody got it? Say amen. Amen. Jeremiah 31, 22. I told you to leave your Bible open. How long, Jeremiah 31, 22, how long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter, for the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. Okay, what's the new thing? Let's go on over. 30. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. That's what he's been saying. And every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be on edge. You eat sour stuff, you're going to feel it. You put bad stuff in your body, you're going to feel it, right? You disobey God, you're going to feel it. You're going to reap what you sow. But 31, watch, everybody with me, say amen. Amen. Behold, the days come. Here's the new thing, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. Any new covenant that God makes is going to be better than the old covenant. Okay? Trust me. God says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Now look, I know you're thinking about covenants in the old way. This is, I know you're thinking about, give me your hand. Put down your Bible. Give me your hand. I know you're thinking about old covenants, and this is how it was. I had to take you by the hand and get you out of Egypt and bring you to the promised land. All right, stop complaining and sit here. You're in the promised land. Goodness sakes, what a whiner. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt do that. Thou shalt go here. Thou shalt go there. Come on back, buddy. Don't think of this new covenant like that, where I got to drag you out and haul you into the promise. Don't think of this new covenant like that old covenant. Watch what he says. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their, say it, hearts. Now it's in your heart. It's not on a cold tablet of stone. Now it's inside me. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know from the least unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. Oh, wow. I'll take the new covenant. How about you? I'll take that. I'd rather have God lay something on my heart and follow that because I love him. Then for him to, you don't want to do that again, do you? For God to drag me around here, drag me to the pool, drag me, to give up my music and purge my phone and get rid of my buddies that were dragging me down into the pit. I got to get rid of them, and I got to get rid of the stuff on my phone, and I got to get rid of that skirt, and I got to get rid of the clothes that I put in a brown paper bag to bring to school so I could change in it so all the kids wouldn't laugh at me, and I got to get rid of that, and I got to get rid of this. I'd rather be done with that and God lay it on my heart and say, oh, sister, you look beautiful when you conform to the standards of modesty and holiness. You look beautiful in the Lord and in the eyes of God. You're beautiful, and there's something in you gets all excited and fluttery when you realize, oh, I'm doing it just exactly according to the Word. And you know what? I don't always know why, and I may not always agree, but I'm delighted to be able to do it according to His Word. I'd rather have that than the old covenant. We're going to call that the Anthony covenant. Because we don't want that. And he says, and I'll forgive their iniquity and I'll remember their sins no more. So your sins are gone. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I am so excited now. It could get dangerous here. How many believe that Brother Branham visited Charlotte? Where you been? Here's Brother Branham in Charlotte. I don't know where, but if any of you know where or find out where, I'd like to know. Abraham, listen to what he says now. Abraham, called by election and God giving him the covenant of grace unconditionally. That's what he's talking about. And when God makes a covenant with a man, man breaks the covenant. When God made a covenant with man in the Garden of Eden, this you do, if you do this, if you do that. There's an if in there. An if is a conditional statement. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, this will happen. Right? That's called a conditional statement. Man turned right back around and broke his covenant with God. You want to know why he broke his covenant with God? Because it wasn't in his heart. You young people that are here, maybe you started, got baptized, you know, intended to make a good start, clean start. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to believe the message of the hour. And you know what? It didn't happen the way you thought. It isn't because you're evil. It's because it never got quickened in your heart. Look, folks, that's what's got to happen. When that happens, I'm not going to be the one to drag you to the pool and drag you to church and drag you to dress right, drag you to live right, drag you to give away your cigarettes. I'm not going to be doing that. The Holy Ghost in you is going to live this word.
Amen.
Watch what he says. Man turned right back around, broke the covenant. God was determined to save man. God was determined to save man. God was determined to save man. God was determined to save me. Say this with me. God was determined to save me.
Amen.
Believe that?
Amen.
I did not wake up one day and say, I want to be saved, and I don't care. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to find God no matter what. That never happened to me. But he found me because he was determined.
Amen.
See the assurance? The second screen is better than the first. Oh, you say, I'd like to be Abraham. Oh, Brother Branham, if I had the assurance, then I would certainly rest perfectly quiet. Oh, I'd like to be like Abraham. Why? You've got the same assurance and the same covenant. Hello? The covenant was not to Abraham only, but to his seed after him.
Amen.
Brother Wellington, that means you. Brother Munch, it wasn't just Abraham. You mean I'm under the covenant? Brother Branham said that God always has his covenant people. Who made the covenant? Jesus did. He signed it. He took the liability. And the responsibility of performance of the agreement rests on Christ, not on you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I don't know if there's a way I can make this sound any better than what it is. Because if I'm going to make it, it's because he's determined to fulfill his responsibility in the covenant.
Amen.
Huh. It's all right there, handsome. The covenant was not only to Abraham only, but to his seed after him. And if you begin to see that, then divine healing becomes easy. And the other promises that God has becomes easy when you see it's not you, it's God. And God has given the promise. And you don't get restless. Am I going to make it? Am I going to get there? It's up to him. But you know what? He's going to live through me and express through me a redeemed life. Somebody who is fit for the kingdom. Somebody who's willing to repent, to change, to surrender, to love, to forgive and be forgiven. He's going to live his life through me. And he's going to give me a token. Because what God's looking for going through the gate is the token. Not whether you're a member of HBT. Or not like, you know, Brother Ben, whether he won the prize Wednesday night at figuring out what the two books were that were written in Aramaic. Because Ben is quick. He was at home and he was quick on Google and he got the other one. Buddy. And you people that were slow to take your phones out and look for that and go for the gift card, Ben was faster than you. And he figured out real quick by looking at his computer that it was Ezra. Daniel and Ezra both spoke Aramaic and wrote in Aramaic because they were in Babylon. And we got to give him the prize because I promised whoever got it to me first. And Brother Michael, who wasn't here on Wednesday night, he was 3 minutes later than Ben. Then after church, I get all the people who Google after church. Look, understanding what's on this screen here takes away your restlessness, takes away your anxiety when you know you're in Christ. Because the covenant that was made between Abraham and God was not just for Abraham, but Abraham and his seed. So his seed's all listed in the book, all the way down through, and all these names are written there. Wow, John James is there. Whoa, Jeremy Clayville's there. Wow, Lincolnton Clayville's there. Wow, they're all, the whole Clayville family is all there. All those Harwells, wow, they're all there. How do you think God would feel if I did that with the covenant? How do you think God would feel if Sunday after Sunday you're told about this covenant of grace and every Sunday you go out in the parking lot? God would have to say, what else can I do? Let's stand to our feet. Covenants, I took a little bit more time than I had thought, but I hope you get the point that you're here today because of a covenant. Your forgiveness is based on a covenant. God says, I gotta, here, look, the way you are born naturally came into the world. The way you are born, you could not fulfill my word. You could not love me. You could not walk with me. You could not fulfill, you could not obey the word of God. You could not love one another. There's none of you could have turned the other cheek, walked the other mile, given another guy your cloak also. None of you could have done that. You could not have lived the life of Christ unless I came and came in you. And put my laws in your heart and caused you to walk in my statutes. So he's telling Israel, you didn't do it. You didn't follow my covenants. You disobeyed. You did this. And this. You know what he's doing? He's highlighting for all mankind the fact that Israel is like everybody else. Everybody else is born in the world. You can't do it yourself. You need Christ in you to live that life. But God says, I got a new covenant. I got news. I got great news. And I'm going to take this. I'm going to take this life and put it inside you in your heart. Not in your mind. Not in your mind. Not in your thinking. Because God doesn't want you to debate this. God does not want you to debate this. God wants you to know this. God wants you to experience this. God wants you to feel it in your heart. And when you feel it in your heart, you're going to obey it a whole lot more easily than if I just know it and I got a checklist. You old people, when you go to bed, you got a checklist. I got to take this. I got to do this. I got to make sure there's water by my bed. I got to make sure this and this and this. And the door's locked. You know, you go down through the list. God doesn't want you to look at his word like that. But when you got it in your heart, oh, Isaac, that's a different story. When it's in your heart, You want to do it. You want to do it. I say this, Lord, pour it into my heart.
Amen.
Look, I know I got it, but I want more of it.
Amen.
I can tell you that after 45 years of serving the Lord, I have never enjoyed reading my Bible as much as I have over the last couple of weeks. Never have. Because even when I read it for the first time and discovered the words, I read it now and it means more to me now. It speaks to me now. It speaks to my heart. And all these things I realize God's promising to us and God has covenanted with us and all of this. And it's just such a thrill. I'm not telling you what you have to do. I'm saying that Christ in you will live out his life some way in you, but it will not be contrary to the Word of God. So if you're, for instance, if you're headed to the makeup drawer and you put on all kinds of makeup and slather yourself here, that's not the Spirit of God leading you to do that. And you ought to be honest and smart enough to figure out that's not the Spirit of God. I can tell you, but common sense would tell you that's not the Spirit of God leading you to do that. Or to wear immoral clothes, you know. My goodness. It's not the Spirit of God telling you to do that. The Spirit of God will lead you back to the Word every time.
Amen.
Every time. He sure will. Oh, let's sing. Let's worship Him. I hope that makes sense today. I hope I'm making sense here. I'm trying to make it as plain as I possibly can here. I'm gonna make it.
Already said that.
How many of you believe that? How many of you really believe that with all your heart?
I'll keep on trusting
that He's working everything for my good. Can change that. And
I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. And He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view.
Confession. I'm going to make it, Lord. I am. Let's sing it now.
Yes, I'm going to make it. He's already said.
Yeah, He said. He said. Not I said. He said.
And I'll keep on trusting. Beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh,
I'm gonna make it. Ah, yes. Hallelujah. I'd have a little less confidence if I looked at this contract or this covenant and saw my name on there, because I'd have a responsibility in this. But when I look on it, I don't see anyone's name but His. And I know my God never fails. I said, my God never fails. He does not fail. He does not know how to surrender and turn back. He does not fail. So when I look at the covenant, I say, wow, He signed it. He's going to get me there. He's going to see me through. Glory. You say, Brother Barry, is that true? All of it's true. Amen. All of it is true. Let's sing again. What are we singing?
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking You as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all.
Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool.
You are my all in all.
When I fall
down, You lift me up. When I am dry, You fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Ring it out now.
Jesus, You're the Lamb of God. Is Your name, Jesus?
Oh,
the Lamb of God.
Worthy is Your name. Hallelujah! Let's give Him an offering of praise. Give Him an offering of praise. Thank You, Jesus. I think so. Let's sing it. I'm so glad He found me.
And I'm so glad He found me. In love He found me. Put His arms all around me.
I've got a revelation of predestination.
I've got a revelation. God is my Father, and I know where I came from. Tells me where I'm going, and the gates of hell can never prevail against it. I've got a revelation of predestination.
I've got a revelation.
God is my Father.
I've got a revelation of predestination. I've got a revelation.
It tells me where I came from. Tells me where I'm going. And the gates of hell can never prevail against it.
Glory. Hallelujah.
God's not dead, He is alive. My God's not dead, He is alive. My God's not dead, He is alive. I feel Him in my hand, I feel Him in my feet, I feel Him in my heart, I feel Him all over.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the worshipers arise. Let the worshipers arise. Why shouldn't we praise Him? I mean, why shouldn't we rise up and praise Him? Why shouldn't we give Him thanks? Hey, if you have no other reason, to give Him thanks, just think about this. When I look at the covenant of grace that He made to Abraham and his seed after him, my name's not on it. And that's enough of a reason to get excited about things. You know why? Because it's not my performance. It's not my works. It's not my consistency. And it's not my discipline that's going to get me there. He's obligated to get me there. He signed the contract on my behalf. Glory to God. One name. That's all. One name. Hallelujah.
Father, I see that you are strong. A
line in the sand, and I want to be on your side, holding your hand, so let your kingdom come.
Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea.
Worshiper, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side. Holding your hand, so let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my
sea. Let the worshipers arise.
Let the sons and the daughters.
I surrender in my all.
Oh, beckoning to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavens ring. This is our song, song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Glad you're one of His. Aren't you glad you're under that covenant? I'll tell you what, if you know that, Brother Branham said the promise of healing is a little easier when you know that. And we know God's made a way, then the promise of joy is, you know what? That's a little easier too. And the promise of peace, that's a little easier too. Promise of overcoming, that's a little easier too, because you know what? It ain't up to me, it's up to Him. I mean, that's the promise. That's what He said. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I may not. I'm Canadian excited. Is that all right? Yeah, you understand. You can relate. If you're in the battle for the Lord and won, hey, let's keep on the firing line. Let's not give up. Right? It's key of G. Let's sing it there. Crank that up there, sister.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, just keep on the firing line. Just keep on that firing line. There are many things. Oh, if we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Service, he must find no place. So keep on that firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave. Soldier he can trust, just keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown to bear the cross, you must just keep on the firing line. Life is but to lay before the master dear, help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Praise, you'll be rewarded for your service here. Oh. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Just keep on the firing line. Our Savior for the call we had. Just keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with the shout of welcome we will all march in. Just keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never
Aren't you glad you fought? Aren't you glad you fought? The days you didn't have much fight left in you, but you're here. That proves Satan doesn't have enough power to take you guys out. He's got lots of power. Satan's got lots of power, but he don't have that much power. He can't keep a son of God down. He can't take a son of God off the earth prematurely. Drag him under a truck for a couple of hundred feet, but he can't take him out of here. Right? Destroy your liver, destroy this, destroy that. Can't take him out though. Because you know what? That's not in your time. That's not in the devil's time. That's in God's time. He's in control. His name is on the contract here, and that's it. Hallelujah. Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship on a accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God.
Oh, glory,
hallelujah is to our God. Every praise, yes, every praise is to our God.
God said to Abraham, Abraham, look up, look down, look on the sands of the sea, by the seashore. And he says, it's all yours. It's all your territory. Walk through it, he said. Every step, every footprint is possession. You know what? We need to be like Abraham. We need to be thinking about that. But we also need to be like Sister Becky. Sister Becky is a genealogist. She understands how to get back there and figure out who owned what. Who is this one's daddy? Who is that one's daddy? This week, we were up in Williamsburg, Virginia, which once was the capital of the United States. It's where it all began. And we were standing there at the end of the street. What's the name of the street? Which? Duke of Gloucester Street. It's the one of the largest living history centers in the world. And the Duke of Gloucester Street just stretches all the way up there. It's an old, hundreds of years old up there. By genealogical record and by authority, her grandfather, 10 times down, time has passed. Her grandfather, 10 times past, Sir John, Colonel John Page. And we went and visited his grave. His grave is right there in the middle of the street on the side by a church there. And his grave marker has been preserved and put inside the church. And he owned hundreds of acres in that part of the community and gave that acreage to the town, gave it to them, and gave the land for the church that he's buried under now. And all of that was his. And by genealogy, She's related to that colonel, very wealthy man. And I took a picture of her pointing up the street, and it's her land. It's hers by inheritance. And so when she walks up the street, it's not like you and I walking up the street. This is her possession. And you know, technically, in a sense, it's her possession. But you know what? None of the people around said, "Whoa, hey, aren't you that 10th generation descendant of Colonel Page? Aren't you? No one stopped and took her picture, except me. No one said, "Wow, there she is, the queen of the street." No one said that. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Facts are still facts. She's still an heir. Still an heir. So when you leave here today and you walk outside and you go to the gas station, put your gas in, nobody says, hey, you're John Cockman, aren't you? Wasn't there a covenant written about you? Aren't you a son of God, a son of Abraham? Do you mind if I... You know what? Because the world doesn't care. The world doesn't care about that stuff. But it's true nonetheless. True nonetheless, right? Nobody can take that away from John. He is a son of God. He's a son of Abraham. Royal seat. Nobody can take that away. And you know, when he goes down the street, when he comes to church and he reads his Bible, the world may not care at all. The world may not take notice. But facts are facts. Hallelujah. It's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord today. It's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord because I believe everything I told you here and you saw on the board, I believe it's all true. Not because I said it, but because everything I said, somebody said before me who is more important than me. And you know what? I believe it's true. And if it's true, you should be able to go out and hold your head high and say, if the earth is the Lord's, I'm an inheritor of this too. One day, you can fight over it, you can divide it, you can do what you want with it, but one day I'm going to be an heir to all of this. Deep down in my soul, He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance deep down in my soul. He's got it all. Raise your hands this morning and sing that. Every one of you. My life is in His hands. So every road I go down, sure it's in His plan. I'd put my life in His hands. And my Father knows. My Father knows what I need. Everything I go through, He knows what's best for me. My Father knows what I need. Heavenly Father, as we bow in Your presence this morning, Lord, it's just such a thrill. gathered with your people, Lord, and rehearsed the promises of God. Everything I've said today, Lord, is not new. It's been there for years. Some cases, been there for thousands of years. But Lord, even before the world stood, you thought of these things. You thought of me. You thought of a way to get me. You thought of a way to redeem me, save me. You thought of us, Lord, and you wrote our names on the book. And you authored a covenant of grace that did not require my performance nor my work. It just required me to believe it. And Lord, we are believers today. I just sense, Lord, among us is a great anticipation in every heart that one day, Lord, this will all pass and we will become inheritors of this new earth. And Lord Jesus, I'm placing the people into your hands now. I pray, as we have prayed, that you would deal with hearts, Lord, those that maybe don't know you. Maybe they've never experienced a real relationship with you. They may know the Bible. They may be familiar with the message, Lord, but they've never really met you and known you. I pray you deal with their hearts. Soften their hearts, Lord, I pray. But I do also know this, that you've got it all under control. Heal those that need healing today. Deliver those that need deliverance. Bring joy to the downcast and lift up the hands that hang down. We'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name and for your glory. Hallelujah. He's got it all in control. Yes, he's got it all in control.
Put that reassurance
deep down in my soul. Yes, he's got it all in control. We're going to let you go in just a minute here. Brother Aaron will be taking the Wednesday night service, and then Brother Chikozie will be taken next Sunday. So remember that and be looking forward to that, because he's a blessing when he comes. And pray for us, if you don't mind. Lord willing, on Tuesday we'll be leaving and flying up to Newfoundland and be ministering four times up there to the people. And we just trust that the Lord will richly bless you all here and give you a wonderful week. And never, ever forget that God's got it all under control. And if he's got it under control, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let's sing that second verse today. God bless you as you go. And if you want to linger and worship a little bit, you're certainly welcome to do that. I put my life in his hands.
I put my life.
What I